We're continuing our sermon series for Advent, and we are focused once again on that one verse of Scripture, Luke chapter 2, verse 10, this morning. I invite you once again to hear the same verse that we read last week, hear it for the second time. And this morning, I invite you, encourage you even, to focus on the second phrase that was spoken by the angel as the angel proclaimed the good news. Let us hear God's word this morning, Luke chapter 2, verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." May God bless the reading of this word once again. Today our candle is peace. Today the word on the lips of the angel is good news. That makes sense. I think in life, peace and good news seem to go together. I don't know about you, but when someone comes to me and says, "I have bad news," I don't usually feel much peace. Anxious, tense, bothered, concerned, yes, but not much peace with bad news. But good news. If someone comes to me saying, "Guess what? I have good news," I get excited. I get hopeful, energized. Good news often brings peace. As we discussed last week, the angel first said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid." The logical question that would follow that is, well, why not? Well, the angel gives the answer. "Do not be afraid, because I have good news." The birth of Jesus Christ is good news. We know this good news brings peace. Well, if that's the case, then where is all the peace? Why does it seem that peace is often missing from our lives? Where is peace in this world? Katie, my good friend, did a great job this morning lighting the candle of peace, but look what the world did to it. It's extinguished. Peace was lit. I saw her do it. She did a great job. But peace has been extinguished. What a fitting metaphor for how it often feels in our world today. Where is all this peace? Where is this good news that we are to be experiencing? Have you ever seen the image of Atlas? Atlas is, according to Greek mythology, one of the Titans who waged war against Zeus. And as punishment for his actions, his behavior, Atlas was punished in terms of always having to hold up the heavens. In fact, if you see an image of Atlas, what you will often see is a fit, strong person with rippling muscles and seemingly very strong and powerful, but often weighed down, slumped over, sometimes even kneeling on one knee because he is carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. I think many people feel like Atlas. It seems to me in our world today, many people feel like they are carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders. Heavy burdens, difficult experiences, troubles, difficult circumstances. So many people seem to journey day in and day out, carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders. And unless my guess is wrong, there is someone here this morning. In fact, I believe many someones in this very sanctuary who feel like they have the weight of the entire world on their shoulders today. Maybe you are the primary caregiver or the primary care watcher for another person, a child, a dependent, maybe someone who is sick, maybe an elderly relative or spouse. Maybe you're concerned about your job. How are you going to pay the bills? How will you get out of debt? You have people dependent upon you. How will you make it financially? Maybe personally, your life is rough, rocky, tense relationships, strain, uncomfortable times in the home or in the work or in the family, little communication. Maybe you feel pressured to make a big decision. It will impact your future greatly, and not only your future, but it will impact the lives of other people, and it's all up to you. It all depends on you. That's pressure. It's like Atlas. Everything is on your shoulders. Sometimes it seems no matter how hard we try, the good news of peace is overshadowed. It is extinguished by the pressures of this world, by the heavy weights and burdens that we carry with us. And yet the angel says, I have good news. What exactly is this good news? How does this good news help with the difficult and heavy burdens that we carry in life? I read this week about Dr. George McCausland. Many years ago, Dr. McCausland was the executive director of a very large YMCA in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This particular YMCA was going through a tough time. It was losing members. It had financial trouble. There were terrible staff problems happening internally. And Dr. McCausland found himself working 80 to 90 hours a week, every week. He was having trouble sleeping. He rarely left work. And on the few times when he did leave work, he carried all of those troubles home with him. He could not get away. Finally, Dr. McCausland went to see a therapist, a Christian therapist. And the therapist said that Dr. McCausland was just on the verge of a nervous breakdown. And the therapist said, you have to learn how to let go of these problems. You have to learn how to trust God, not yourself. But the only problem was Dr. McCausland had no idea how to do that. So one day, George McCausland left work. He took the afternoon off. He grabbed a pad of paper and a pen, and he went walking through the woods in western Pennsylvania. On that cool afternoon, as he walked through the woods, as he tells it, he could just feel his tight body, his tight neck begin to relax. He sat down under a tree. He took a deep breath, he sighed, and for the first time in months, he felt truly relaxed. In that moment, he took out that pad of paper and a pen, and he decided that it was time. It was time to learn how to let go, to release the burdens of life, to take the load off of his shoulders. So McCausland said, the only thing I knew to do was to write a letter to God. It was a very short letter. But he took the pad of paper, he took the pen, and he began to write. And here's what he said. Dear God, today I hereby resign as general manager of the universe. Love, George. A few days later, he was telling a friend about this experience, and with a twinkle in his eye, he said, and wonder of wonders, God accepted my resignation. Do you ever feel like the general manager of the universe? Do you ever feel like you need to resign? Do you ever find yourself carrying the burdens of fixing every problem, of shaping everything and everyone, of getting everything and everybody exactly the way you think they need to be, making sure everything is just so, but in doing so, you are worn out trying to keep the entire world? It is exhausting being the general manager of the universe. There is never, never any peace in trying to manage everyone and everything. But guess what? There is good news. It is not your job. It is not your job. Somebody already has that job. That job is already taken. Someone's already in that position, and it is God. It is God's job. In the midst of the difficulties of life, in the midst of the struggles of this world, even in the pain and the heartache that we often experience in life, what we find is peace comes when we trust God and not ourselves. I know that sounds simplistic, but that's the truth. That is the good news, trusting God. Peace comes when we take the weights and the burdens that we place on our backs off and we let someone else, God, do the job of general manager of the universe. But here's the thing, we have to take them off. We have to put them down. We have to let them go. We have to let go of the weights of the world. They are not ours to carry. You remember what the prophet Isaiah said when he was pointing to the coming of the Prince of Peace. The prophet Isaiah said this, and the government, the things of this world will be where? On his shoulders, right? Isn't that a wonderful image? We give the weights and the concerns of this world to God. Why? Because God never intended for us to bear the weights of the world on our shoulders. They are not broad enough. We are control-oriented people. We try to bear the weight of the whole world ourselves, and when we do so, there is no peace. When we trust in ourselves, hate is strong, and it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Only when we give these things to God do we experience peace. That is the lesson of our text today. That is the lesson from the angels. It is the lesson from the music that we have heard today. Several years ago, Lindsay Terry wrote an article about the carol, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Our choir sang it earlier today. In part, Terry said and wrote these words, tragedy struck the home of America's most popular poet on July the 9th, 1861. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's wife, Fanny, was near an open window. She was sealing the locks of her daughter's hair with a packet using hot sealing wax. And it was never known if there was a spark from the match or the sealing wax was the cause, but suddenly her dress caught on fire and engulfed her with flames. Her husband, Henry, was sleeping in the next room, and he was awakened by her screams. He desperately did everything he could to try to put the fire out. He was severely burned on his face and his hands. But Fanny, his wife, however, was tragically burned. She slipped into a coma, and she died the next day. Longfellow's grievous burns would not even allow him to attend his wife's funeral. He seemed to lock all of his anguish within his soul. Because he continued to work at his craft, only the family knew of his personal suffering. They could see it in his eyes. They knew it was there in his long periods of silence. His white beard that was so identified with Longfellow was one of the results of this tragedy. The burn scars on his face made it difficult, almost impossible to shave. Although a legend in his own time, Longfellow needed the peace that only God gives, that only God can remove from our shoulders and on Christmas Day. 3 years following that horrible accident, at the age of 57, Longfellow sat down trying to capture the peace that he knew he needed, the peace of Christmas. So he began writing, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet, the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. As he came to the third stanza in his writing, he was stopped by the thought of the condition at the time of his beloved country. It was 1864. The Civil War was in full swing. The Battle of Gettysburg was not long in the past. Days looked dark, and probably he thought to himself, how can I write about peace on earth when brother fights against brother and father fights against son? But Longfellow kept writing. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It seems he could have been writing about our day today. Then, as all of us should do, he turned his thoughts to the one who solves the problems, to the one who is general manager of the universe, to the one who takes our burdens from us and makes our yoke easy to give us comfort. And he wrote, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. And so we have this marvelous Christmas carol. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Years later, a musician named John Baptiste Calkin wrote the musical setting that has helped us to make this carol so familiar and one of our favorites. But we can't miss the message. Just as that Christmas in 1864 was made much better for Longfellow, we too can experience that kind of peace at Christmas. We can actually find the peace that Longfellow wrote about in that carol, the true peace with God. We can know that we are God's child. We can know that we have a home in heaven that is prepared just for us. See, the good news, the true source of peace, here it is. Jesus did not come just to be born a babe in a manger. Jesus came to be born in your life and in mine. That's what the peace of Christmas is. That's what happens inside of us. Every Christmas season, we are reminded that it's not enough for Christ to have been born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. That was good news, but the continuing good news in all of our lives is what really counts, is when Christ is born in the human heart. Your Bethlehem is when Christ came to you and was born in your heart. It is that remarkable parallel that constitutes the good news of our faith, that Jesus can be born in us as certainly as he was born in Bethlehem. Therefore, to us and to the shepherds, the angel stands to make that wonderful announcement. Do not be afraid, because I have good news. Good news. Put down your heavy burdens. Take off your worries and your concerns. Open your heart to peace. Hear the bells on Christmas Day, for Christ can be born in your heart this Christmas. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, for hope and peace, and for these gifts of faith this day, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, help us to continually look beyond our circumstances and the heavy loads and burdens that we carry to your good news of the Prince of Peace, who was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago and continues to be born in each of our lives each year. Give us that peace as we continue to journey through this Advent season. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.